Welcome to the Business Today with the MBA on Money Radio WPSE. My name is John Cray, President and CEO of the Manufacturer and Business Association, and it is my pleasure today to welcome Dorenda Hammerland. Dorenda is with the Workforce Development Specialist, Executive Assistant with the Department of Corrections. Dorenda, it is an absolute pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Certainly. Dorenda, we've got some really neat stuff that I know you guys have been working on for a while, and we've just recently been sharing with our members. Before we get into our discussion, let's kind of set the stage, if you would. Tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. So I am originally from the state of California, born and raised, and I worked for Department of Corrections almost 20 years in the state of California. I moved to Pennsylvania in February of 2017 to be a program manager for a grant the Department of Corrections in Pennsylvania received to establish career pathways in prisons to how to get inmates job ready prior to release. And that's what brought me here to Pennsylvania. And I've been here since then. Absolutely love it. My little fun fact is I've been to every prison in California and every prison in Pennsylvania.
Holy cow.
In my 25-year career of Department of Corrections between the two states.
Yep. Very neat. Well, we first had the opportunity, you know, to meet you and some of your coworkers when we hosted an event in out of our Cranberry office a month or two ago. And the program itself was on, and I know it's one of the issues that many of our members are having with respects to, you know, they've got open positions, but finding people to help with filling those open positions. And fortunately, one of our team members out of the Cranberry office was familiar with a program that you guys have in place or you've had in place for some time now. And I'll refer to it as kind of second chance hiring, if you will. And as you've introduced yourself to our listeners, I'm sure they have a sense as to where we're going with this. But we got such a great response from that program that we're going to be hosting another session in May here in our Erie office. But before we talk about that, if you would, tell us a little bit about what is the second chance hiring? What is it that you guys have been working on and how does it work?
So second chance hiring isn't anything new or anything due to COVID or a new invention. It's been going on for years. It just hasn't really been talked about as much. COVID kind of brought light to it with the unemployment rate being as high as it was. Employers started looking outside the box for hiring. And honestly, reentrants, returning citizens, people with incarcerated backgrounds, that's all second chance, you know, hiring. Uh-huh. And that's a great untapped population. And that's what sure. I always like to say. It's an untapped population. A lot of employers started focusing on veterans, which is another great untapped population. They have skills from their time in the service that can be translated into outside jobs. That is the exact same thing with inmates. We have jobs, programs, vocational programs inside our state correctional institutions that can translate into outside work. And so what I do is I talk to employers really on the benefits of hiring reentrants and how it's not just a fiscal benefit, a financial benefit, just that somebody coming out of prison, they may have a criminal background and have served time, but they may have a nationally accredited certification in their field. They could have hands-on work experience. They just have a criminal background.
Uh-huh.
And so that is what this process is really just educating the public and educating employers on how I can provide them an information tunnel, if you would, to our population of parolees. You know, we have approximately 38,000 parolees in Pennsylvania, and these were as of January. I don't have any of the newer statistics yet, but uh-huh. In January, we had about 38,000, and out of that, about 25,000 are able to work. 8,900 of those 25,000 are able to work but are not working.
Okay.
Wow. For a variety of reasons. So that's throughout Pennsylvania.
Yep.
We have an untapped population. We have workers. We have people that are ready to work, able to work. We just need employers to open their doors and just give them an opportunity.
Sure. Well, before we and we are certainly going to get into some specifics on, can you give us some examples of how it works and stuff like that? But while our program, and we're very fortunate and excited as we partner with WPSE, so it airs primarily in the Erie and Northwest Pennsylvania area. This is a recording that will be on our website. And so while we have members throughout Pennsylvania, so we want to make sure at the end of our discussion, if you would be so kind to share your contact information so that if as our members hear about this, that they're able to reach back out to you. That'd be great.
Yeah, and I actually do cover the whole state of Pennsylvania.
Yep.
And so I am the initial contact when it comes to employers, and I get that information into the hands of our reentry staff in the area, no matter where in Pennsylvania the job openings.
Yep. No, that's great. It's great to have that one point of contact so that, again, that they know it's going to get filtered through, and then they can, especially if they have other locations throughout the state, that they find it works well for them. So great. Okay. Well, first of all, let's consider the Erie area. We have a facility here in Erie. Have you placed any of the, over the years that this has been in place, have you placed any of the inmates in any positions locally? And if so, what types of positions? Not necessarily the companies that they're working with, but more so the functions that they're fulfilling.
So we have a variety of employers that hire our population. And we have what are called community reentry parole agents that are in the area. And we have one specific, her name is Mindy Davis. She's fantastic in Erie, and she focuses on the Erie area. So she has more of that information as far as the type of employers that okay. we hire in. A lot of our employers are production, manufacturing, food service workers, okay. warehousing, and the construction.
Yep.
Those are those high placed jobs yep. for our population.
Yep. Okay. And is it fair to assume that it's primarily what I'll refer to as a typical first shift? Or are they, does it cross all three shifts depending
on
the shift?
All three
shifts. Interesting.
And so our parolees, you know, even though they're on parole, that doesn't limit them necessarily. Yes, they may have parole conditions that might limit their work hours, but our parole agents do as much as they can to work with the employers to not impede that employment situation. So if somebody needs to work second shift, third shift, and maybe that's outside some of their parole conditions, they can get exemptions. It's a conversation. They just need to have that relationship. And that's where that relationship with the parole agent comes in, and it's a supportive relationship.
Okay, gotcha. So it's primarily you connect the employer with the parole agent, or is that consistent throughout the state as far as kind of how the process works? The employer contacts you, you then contact the parole agent, and the parole agent then works with the employer?
Yeah, so what I do is I have an initial conversation with employers. I find out exactly what they're looking for in employees, whether they have one position, 10 positions, multiple positions, doesn't matter. And I have some specific questions that I ask just so that way I'm getting all of the information on who they're looking for. I always tell employers, you know, if they want somebody with orange hair, green teeth, and a freckle on their nose, I will write that down. And that is exactly what I will put out to our reentry staff.
Sure.
Because our staff know who on their caseload has orange hair, green teeth, and a freckle on their nose to yep. send to them. And yep. it's really that specific. You know, I ask about, do they need to have a driver's license? That happens to be one of our big barriers with this population is transportation.
Sure.
Do they need to have a high school diploma or GED? And then the biggest question that I always ask is conviction restrictions. Are there any conviction restrictions that they cannot or will not hire for? Because yep. as I said, we want to get the right people. So once I get that information from an employer, I push that out to all of the staff, parole agents, and everything in that area where that job is located. They will then share that information with people on their caseload that are looking for jobs that fit that description.
Okay. Can you elaborate on what would be some examples of conviction restrictions, and are those restrictions geared toward the job function, or are they also geared toward just the culture or the environment that they want to maintain? Do they work hand in hand, or are they primarily more one or the other?
It's a little bit of both. I have some employers who want to refrain from hiring certain convictions, primarily sex offenders. And when somebody tells me that, when an employer tells me that, that's the only time I question. And I say, well, all sex offenses or violent sex offenses against women and children? Because there is a difference. You could have had an underage relationship, you know, when you were 18 and you had a 16-year-old boyfriend or girlfriend. You could have peed in a public park, you know. So are we talking all sex offenses or, you know, so that's the only time I ever question an employer on their answer. And a lot of times if they say, no, we have a lot of females that work in our company and we want to protect our employees. Some are based on where the job is, you know, if it's a construction and they have to go and work on schools or federal land, then there might be background restrictions for certain things. So sometimes it's job related. Sometimes it's just the employer wanting to protect the employees. And I really should note, and you alluded to this earlier, I don't publicize who I work with. We don't publicly acknowledge any of our employers that we work with.
Sure.
We have a couple that are our public partners. Outside of that, it is all internal. It stays on an internal website, intranet page. We do not keep a list. It's not out there for the public to know who we work with, because we don't want to damage that relationship that we have with our second chance employers.
Sure. How has the experience been with respects to once an individual has been placed within the organization? Do you find it's typically very favorable? Like every position, I'm sure there's some turnover, but what would surprise our listeners about your experience with working with employers and placing some of these parolees?
I love this question because that is one of the biggest surprises that people have. The retention rate is high. The retention, the longevity of this person in your organization. This is what I hear from employers. They are some of the most hardworking, dedicated, loyal people that they have ever hired. They are so appreciative of given the chance to work for that company. They don't want to go out and try to start over again with another company, explain their background, try to just get their foot in the door. Once you've given them a chance, the majority of them are going to stay with you throughout their career.
Sure.
And they are going to be, and honestly, that's just what I've heard, is they are some of the most hardworking, dedicated staff you will ever have.
How do they qualify? How do they, do they have to have a certain, I want to call it performance, but how do they qualify to be even considered besides having, you know, they've got the skill set? Do they need to meet certain criteria within the prison to be able to qualify as a candidate for a position?
No, not at all. If you're talking about for the employers on the outside,
No, I'm talking more so the individual that is incarcerated or is a parolee. How do they qualify for you guys to even consider presenting them as, do they apply to be considered a part of the placement, or is that something that you just do with each and every individual?
We just do it. So everybody that we do not do work release for the state correctional systems. So every person that we give this information to that's applying is somebody that's on parole.
Okay.
Now we do have reentry service offices inside our prisons, and the staff there share the job openings because those are inmates that are going to be getting out 12 months or less. So they want to know what jobs are available in the area. So
I
they'll at least know of those jobs, but the people that are applying are primarily going to be those that are currently on parole. They are out of the prison system and they're ready to work. You know, they have their documents, their I-9 documents. That's something that's huge, you know, and they're ready to work.
Okay. That's helpful. I did not realize that. So, okay. All right. Well, I mean, it's amazing how fast the time flies, and we still do have a few minutes because I would like to touch base on, so we've got another briefing coming up here in May. I think it's Wednesday, May the 18th, if I'm not mistaken. And today's program is recorded. So anybody that is joining us that hears about this information and would like to share the information with someone else at work, or maybe they know of another employer that may be interested, they can go to our website to get that recording. But it's been 15 minutes that we talk. So this program, this briefing, I think is like an hour and a half to 2 hours. And if I'm not mistaken, and I know you'll be joining us. Can we take just a few minutes, Dorinda, if you would, tell us a little bit about the May 18th program that's going to be taking place at our facility here?
I cannot encourage employers enough to attend this. I'm hoping that this will at least pique your interest, whether you're already a second chance employer or even if you're just curious about it. I will have guests with me. One of the biggest guests that I have is Jen Strobel. She's the vice president of HR for Flagger Force. They are one of our public partners. Okay. And I will be sharing all my portion is, I always feel like a car salesman, hire our population, hire our parolees. You know, I'm telling you how great they are and their certifications they earned while they were inside and the work experience. Jen comes from an employer perspective. What barriers, what challenges did they face and how did they overcome them to now become a second chance employer and become one of our public partners? And she's able to speak from an employer to employers. Sure. She has, and I can tell you, I've worked with Jen for, I'll say three years, and every time I hear her presentation, I still get goosebumps to this day. Sure. She's so passionate, and I love what Flagger Force has done for our population. And so coming in and hearing that, I think is really beneficial to employers. One of our other presenters is going to be Greg Shirk. He's from Labor and Industry, Department of Labor and Industry. And what he does is going to talk about the financial benefits. There's a work opportunity tax credit that employers are eligible for hiring this population and also federal bonding.
Nice.
And so that is what we're going to cover in that hour and a half, 2 hours, and really just open it up to employers to say, hey, what questions do you have for us?
Sure. I know it looks like it's scheduled to start at 11:30. I think that's when our guests arrive and that sort of thing. Whether you're a member of the MBA or not, you are able to join us. There is a cost for the event because it's going to go from 11:30 to 2, so it does include lunch. But that information is on our website. MBA members can participate at $79, non-members at $99. And so again, we thank you so much for joining us for today's program. I would ask you if you would, Dorinda, if you could please share your contact information with our listeners in case if just based on today's discussion, they want to reach out to you. Could you share with them how they could get a hold of you if they'd like to learn more after today's discussion?
Yes. So my email address, email is the easiest and fastest way to get a hold of me. My email address is dhamarlund@pa.gov. You can also find my contact information on our website, which is cor.pa.gov. And under community reentry, I do have a workforce page that has additional information on our vocational programs we offer inside the prison. It has all my contact information and some quotes from some employers, some of our previous presentations we've done. So if maybe you're not able to attend the MBA event in May, the information is available on our website also and some previous podcasts we've done. And it's just great work. And so I just encourage any employer, which from what I'm hearing, almost every employer is still struggling with finding talent. And so just come and find out. Just listen. That's all I ask. Just give us a chance. Let us answer your questions and let us show you how this is such an untapped population.
Well, it was an absolute pleasure having you with us today. We certainly look forward to the event coming up on the 18th. Thanks for everything that you're doing. And I learned quite a few things here already this morning. I'm sure our listeners did. For those of you that are listening today, information on that briefing is on our website at mbausa.org. So you can go there. If you have any questions or if you have any difficulty finding us, you're certainly welcome to call us here at 833-3200. Just reference the briefing on May 18th and we'll get that info to you. So again, Dorinda, thank you so much for being part of our program. Thank you for everything you're doing. To our listeners, thank you once again for joining us for today's program. We hope you have a great rest of your day. This is John Cray with the MBA and the Business Today on Money Radio WPSE, signing off.